guys, what's up? I'm Crystal Lamar, and you're listening to Crystallized Beats Podcast. Hey guys, what's up? I'm Crystal Lamar, and this is Crystallized Beats. I am super psyched to tell you that tonight's featured artist is Prince Poe from Organized Confusion, and we are going to listen to his track, Last to the Greatest, so let's get to it.
Classic. Yeah. Raps Dick Dastardly, Simon Barr Sinister, Mike Minutes with pivoted classics to administer. Fight with us, listeners asking for deliverance. Tight spitters, militant smash it, the finisher. What life bitters consider Jurassic, signature status. Drastic blast like Daz, the diligent lyrical havoc. Prince Poe, furious, fast but simple. Your purse, get that cash, they feeling your magic. Mad villain, your grind, replenish their mind, finish their kind. Limit their time, tell them dinner is fine. Get it? We eat them seeds like Vietnamese. Eat hog, never configure my digital analog art and design. Peeling your feelings back through time. Cats don't know how to act, so I subtract the nine. Play the game, better stats, no shine. Perhaps stay on the dime like the Jackson 5, fresh for wine.
Here's a blast to the face from the last of the greatest.
You better learn I'm one of the greatest alive. One of the greatest alive.
Now here's a blast to the face from the last of the greatest.
You better learn I'm one of the greatest alive.
Spit balls that inflict stars, won't get bald for chicks, bras, pants, and sip hard quicker than Bronx strip cars. Purse raps at worst after the first chapter, nurse half you for the church, pass it in hearse, snatch your catch, you hear raps appear, lungs collapsing near, deathly gasp, but ill earth losing atmosphere. Get your click, bro, a tiptoe before a spit flows and rip those with miles, big as hippos, that's how shit goes to keep your lips closed. The baddest mic spitters say I'm the fattest, right? Fans come at us hype, cause I'm a star status like Lattice Night, but like never. Stacks cheddar rap better than cast is the day that has black leather, and for that era, better switch fields, cause with a spit kills, it's ill. Had chicks still try to get me to trick bills, but only get deals. If you're whack, I would triple black artists to cripple cat sales fans. Then the emails will return a retailer, give it back.
Here's a blast to the face from the last of the greats.
You better learn I'm one of the greatest alive. One of the greatest alive.
Here's a blast to the face from the last of the greats.
You better learn I'm one of the greatest alive.
Peter Patterson, collateral damage and bandage in MC, scrambling purse, the sandwich and canvas and light, cameraman, here's the story you want it, poison tip javelin, unraveling jams, get on it, rip your chest for the enjoyment, torment, panicking, jealous cats, it's damaging like scams in the Vatican, mannequin rapper, stand dormant, got them scattering, nobody move, nobody get hurt, damn it, it's shattering.
Don't whack beats, still attract freaks, and Mac each from the back seat, my impact reach, white and black peaks, pen flattened, y'all begin chatting, some men's ratting, when a sim patent's hard to catch, living Latin, last to the greats who smash with the papes. If an ass is a snake, a blast with my cake and dash with Kuwait. Cut back a page like a Mac, a gauge. But it raps a rage. No one can fuck with like they contracted AIDS.
Now here's a blast to the face from the last of the greats.
You better learn I'm one of the greatest alive. One of the greatest alive.
Here's a blast to the face from the last of the greats.
You better learn I'm one of the greatest alive.
Alright guys, so that was Last of the Greatest by Prince Poe. Stay tuned because up next I have an incredible interview with the man himself. I'm Crystal Lamar and this is Crystallized Beats. Tonight's featured guest is Prince Poe from Organized Confusion. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I'm good. I'm grateful to be here. I'm feeling okay. I'm blessed.
And you're super positive with your pink.
So. Oh yeah. I had to wear the bright, you know, mix the pink with the mauve. So right. You know, I figured I wanted to bring some strong energy to the room.
Awesome.
And I'm bright colors. Most people wear, you know, black. Well, it's one of my favorite colors, but I figured today I'll come out a little bit more brighter.
Slimming.
Huh?
The black is slimming. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It makes people feel like they're smaller, but. Yeah. I have so many black clothes because I happen to like black clothes.
Right. So I wanted to ask you, obviously, some stuff that your fans are definitely going to want to know. Like, you guys produced your first album alone, like completely alone.
So, yes and no. We pretty much let me see what this pretty much hello, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Pretty much we've always been surrounded by friends and colleagues that did the same thing. So, you know, a lot of times there was a lot of unity in the studio. We did produce most of the stuff, but, you know, ideas and input always was like a family affair. So we had other artists in the room with us too sometimes. That's what made it was great, was it's a lot of fellowship and process in the process of making records, you know?
That's the community that I'm always talking about, you know, that mm-hmm. hip-hop community. So it was called The Underground Album by AllMusic. What do you think about that? Because you guys, like, produced it on your own.
Yeah, I always wanted to clarify to me that when I was growing up, the definition of underground was, like, a hard-to-find classic. It was just like, you know, we seen you with a pair of sneakers that was really cool, and we was like, where you get those from? You'd be like, I'm not telling you. I'm not going to tell you because it's special. And we always respected that. That was a part of the culture, was to be original and to try to seek out things that were special. So, you know, the label underground has always been misunderstood, but it means, like, hard to find. It's like classic, whatever it is, sneakers, music, clothes,
right?
You know, furniture. It could be anything that's funky, that's soulful, that, you know, that gives people a certain energy. So when we got labeled underground, it was, to us, it was an honor, you know?
Right, yeah.
But over the years, I think people got it misconstrued where underground means, like, you know, you don't have no money, you sneak in the party, you got a half a blunt, like, you know, like roughing it, like, you know, and that's not it. Underground means special, hard to find, you know, rare, you know, classics. When we used to go record shop, and we used to call it, like, you know, we going underground, we going to find some stuff that nobody has. So it was an honor.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool, definitely, for your first album.
Right.
So you guys didn't have, like, the technology that these kids have now to make their own music. So how did you do it?
Well, back then, it was a plan. It was all, like, you know, a joint effort of just not only us, but, like, the national director of promotions, regional people that was in certain areas that dealt with distribution.
Right.
And then you had trade magazines back then, you know. And what the trade magazines did was they used to do, like, previews on the music while it was in progress of making it. So, like, you know, sometimes, you know, the trade magazine writers will come to the studio, or they'll get to hear, like, an advanced copy of something through the record label. So they would write about it. So we did a lot of reading back then. So they would post, you know, this is what's up and coming, it sounds good, you know, and people would look out for it. And that really circulated through the music industry mostly. And then you had outlets like The Source magazine that would tell you what's up and coming after that process. So it was a process of just constantly promoting the record. We didn't have this form of social media that makes it a little bit easier, but at the same token, it's tedious too because of the algorithms, and people be thinking that they control the algorithms, and they don't.
Right, you definitely. Know?
I tell people all the time, like, I see people put up great posts on Facebook, but, you know, they got 5,000 friends, but I've never seen them have 1,500 likes. So, you know, it's not controlled by them. So with us putting in the work, it was a little bit more in control because we was face-to-face and building relationships.
Right.
So, like, you would be the one stop in Boston, and all the records before they go to the record stores come to you. So we would come to you and have a meet and greet and get to know you. So when the records come to you and before you send them to the stores, you can say, hey, look, those guys are some great guys. You know, I met them. They got a good character with them. You know, it's like we built relationships, and that's how we sold records.
Definitely. And your first album that you put out, it didn't really resonate. I don't think it got the credit, first of all, that it deserved. But, right. You know, did you learn from that experience? Like, what did you learn from that?
I learned about promotions, and we first of all we was learning how to be responsible, you know. Right. And just, like, you know, whatever opportunities that we had, whether it was magazine interviews, or was radio interviews, or was meeting the people at the One Stops, or meeting the people at the record store. We always showed up. We never canceled nothing. We always showed up. We wanted to keep building and keep building our reputation and our name and our and share our character, because you know we was workers. So we always was on point. Like when the labels had interviews for us, we always showed up. We never canceled nothing. So
right. That
made it more like a school. Like it was teaching us about the business by just showing up to everything and just paying attention to what's being done. So, I mean, it was a learning experience for us, you know, and sometimes, you know, learning on your own and just being humble, and being humble meaning like embracing your mistakes as well. Like, you know, showing up 5 minutes late because you don't think it's nothing but 5 minutes, but you know, somebody might begin an interview after you. So, you know, you gotta time too, you know, so it was teaching us. It was really the first album was like a teacher.
Right. And speaking of that business aspect, you had once said that you were like dreaming of the day where you would be able to be the creative and not have to worry, you know, 90% about the business stuff. Do you find that nowadays you're starting to feel that way? Like you can be more of a creative?
Yes and no. Because you know you want your music to be represented a certain way, and you want to also be able to correlate with what's going on online,
right?
And how to post your stuff and how to get more people to be in tune with it. So it's like, yes, I do get to create, but what I try to do is I try to separate it. You know, I'll create a little bit and I'll share a little bit online and let people know that I'm still working, to let them know to keep looking out for some things coming from me. But also, I go on social media to be a good human to people, because there's so much different narratives, there's so much negative energy, that I try to go on there and I post funny memes. I post throwbacks of music, so that just in case if somebody don't know my music, they can get to know my music. And I've never been the type of person that said, oh, you don't know who I am. Like I think that's a horrible thing to say to somebody. Because you don't know where they were in their life at the time that you were in your life.
Right.
So it's like when I put out the music and somebody say, what group you from? I said, Organized Confusion. They go, oh, what? So I introduce myself like I'm brand new, because it's not fair to them that they was just in a different place. They could have been in Alaska going to school, you know, and they just wasn't in tune with what was going on. And we have to be more mindful of that with each other. Like everybody was in different places and different spaces. And everybody has their own special timeline. So a lot of times when I come out to do shows, I say, hey, just in case y'all don't know, my name is Prince Poe from Organized Confusion. Some people be looking at me like, we know who you are. Some people be like, oh, wow, now I know who he is. So it's healthy to just always be humble and just always introduce yourself and always be mindful that people is in different places and different spaces. So you have to be open-minded to that. And you pick up not only fans, but people that truly know that you're a good-hearted person. You know what I mean? So
That's such a good way to look at things. That's a lot of, you know, I try to stay mindful, try to stay aware of like other people, be empathetic, you know, and that makes a lot of sense. It's a good way to look at things.
You know, a lot of times if you call somebody and they go, hello, how you doing? You say, hey, how are you doing today? And they'll just pause. They won't say nothing for like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Because they're not used to, we're so used to jumping in on a topic. Hey, what's up? Did you see the news or what happened? Such and such. But sometimes I say, hey, how are you doing today? And when I say it that way, a lot of times there's a pause.
Yeah, you choke them up.
Because they're going. They're not fully present. So I try to, you know, make an effort to make sure the person is present and I actually care about them. I call them. So regardless of what I want to talk about, I still care about them as a person. So I try to be like, hey, how are you doing today? And then sometimes they'd be like, yeah, man, you know what I have? I say, hey, you missed the question.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
That's awesome.
Yeah. So.
I mean, you have a really great outlook on life. That's really nice to see. And I'm sure that your fans are going to be very happy to see that side of you. You know, you seem like you're a really deep thinker. And, you know, I can tell that from your music. And you had taken some time off from making your own music. Did you do that like as a way of finding yourself after Okay?
Well, what happened was, first of all, me and Monch never broke up. It's funny to see people say, after they broke up, like, we never broke up. We just was always in full control of our career. And when Mont said, you know, I want to go and make records some more, I was tired. Like, you know, I did a lot of the business. I worked closely with the road managers and the managers and the label execs and the national director of promotions. And after a while, you can get worn out. So having like successful tours and dope shows, I just made a valiant effort to just fall back. But simultaneously at that time, a lot of digital production programs was being created.
Right.
So I took off the time, but I also took off the time to say, oh, I can't be stubborn. I got to learn this. So I had to teach myself. I had to teach myself Fruity Loops and Reason and Pro Tools. All these things started transpiring, and I was just sitting home trying to absorb it and teach myself how to utilize these platforms. So it took some time, but I was happy that I had the time to do it, you know, and the financial means to sit still and just say, look, this is going to be the future. This is the new thing. You got to learn how to, the same way you hit those pads, you got to be able to click that mouse.
Right.
So, you know, that transition was challenging, but it was fun.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say so, because I downloaded Ableton because I make my own music. I'm a singer. And right. I was like, you know what? I'm going to make my own beats. I got this. It took me like 25 minutes to figure out how to cut and paste something. And I was like, right. You know what? Shut the laptop. I'm good. I'm going to buy my beats.
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you that it does get frustrating, but it was the same thing like that when we used samples. Like, you know, right. we're all hard-headed in some sort of sense. So, you know, we never really read the full instructions.
Right, how I don't you either.
Yeah, so my thing is that I used to get mad and frustrated. I even kicked my 1200 over a few times, you know, and went to the store and got a sandwich and something to drink. Like, ah, the hell with you, and kicked the sampler over. But I also came back and said, well, it has to be a way to learn this. So, you know, yeah, it does get frustrating, but also the victory of it is when you do lock in, you mess with it, and you leave it alone, and you mess with it, and you leave it alone, you start tapping into more stuff. You start saying, hey, man, I can figure this out. So yeah. I will encourage you, like, you know, every now and then you go back to it, because there's certain things that might click with you later on than now, you know?
Right, definitely. Right now, though, I mean, I'm focused on the blog and the podcast because I've been, you know, I'm a one-man show. So right. I do the business, I do the creative, I do the marketing, everything. So my music is kind of on the back burner for now, you know, but that's fine.
No, it's just, you know, they say jack of all trades, a master of none. Right. Everybody must know how they multitask. What is priority? What is second? What is third? You know, when you're trying to do a successful blog and then you're trying to reach out to the people, because we got to have people that care about the people. People be getting false information. Right. They don't have access to good, better music. Like, they just, they subjected to what they're playing on the radio, and there's right. so much music out there. So it's like when you devote yourself to that, you got to learn how to say, okay, the podcast is first, the such and such is second, my music is third. But that doesn't mean that what's third gets less attention. It's just that when you move on to the third thing, it's like, now I can focus on my music, blah, blah, blah. I got a certain amount of podcasts that's up. People got information out there. And now you can sit down. It's just now about like not letting life overwhelm you and sit down and focus and do the music, because, you know, you still got life.
Yeah, definitely. Every once in a while, I'll be like, you know what? I think I'm going to listen to a new beat and make a new song. So like, that's that'll right. be like the moment where I'm like, you know what? I can do this right now. I got a few minutes to do this. And that's what I'll do, you know, and then I put them on, you know, Instagram and stuff. But like you said about the algorithm, you know, back when I first started the blog, I used to get tons of likes and views. And now I'll put a video up and get like 15 likes.
You right.
know? I'm like, damn, you know, like, what
well,
happened?
You got to tap. You have to tap into it. You got to get a pattern, and you got to kind of like break the algorithms where it starts picking up how you move, your rhythm. You have a certain right. rhythm. But my thing is, too, also, when it comes to like a lot of these artists that's successful, I like a lot of them. You know, I like a lot of them based off of what they're saying in certain songs. And then I grow to like them as an artist. Right. You know, I feel a few of them. Like, you know, I like Lil Baby. I like the Baby sometimes, you know, and Young Thug. a lot of these artists, I like certain things that they do, but one thing people got to realize is that they was not online when they was in the lab. They was working like workhorses. They was going hard and you did not see them. Right. So then when people start seeing them, they're thinking that they're living this lavish lifestyle and they just got all the time in the world to be online, and that's not true. These artists is working hard. They stay in the studio. They damn near living in the studio. But that people never see the work progress of artists. They only see when they're reaping the benefits of their hard labor.
Right. That's the same with any business, any successful person. It's like people are like, oh, that happened overnight. And it's like, no, actually, he's been working on this for 20 years and you just didn't know.
That is correct. You know, that's what happened.
He popped up on the scene overnight. But, you know, that was his lucky break finally after 15 or 20 years, whatever. You know?
Like 2 Chainz was in New York early in his career.
Right.
Recording and learning. Scarface came to New York early in his career.
Right.
And these are people that was devoted to the music, but they had a story to tell. They wanted to share their journey. So, you know, since New York is the epicenter, people started back then will come to New York and lock in with certain radio stations and certain artists and certain functions because they wanted to get a gist of where it's coming from and they wanted to be a part of that. And I salute those artists. That's a dope thing to do, to invest in your passion.
Right, definitely. You know, and speaking of all these other artists, I wanted to ask you about Kool Keith, because Kool Keith is like one of my favorite MCs and you had done some collabs with him. And I wanted to know, how did you like mix or mesh, I guess, your like impeccable lyrical style with his quirky kind of eccentric style?
Well, one thing I could say is that, you know, I think artists today respect each other as artists, but back then we always was fans of the other group. Like we can be fellow artists, but we were fans of the music. We know the music, we live with the music. You know, Kool Keith is just like a dope creative person. And ironically, he was coming to a studio that was local in my neighborhood.
Right.
So, you know, we was missing each other passing by, but with just knowing that Ultra Magnetic was working in that studio was just like, oh my God, like, we got to make some dope records like this dude. And like, you know, a lot of stuff that they did, we was just used to play it in the cars and we used to go hang out or go to Coney Island to, you know, get on rides and play games. We used to play their music hanging out. So we became friends, and I'm really cool with Kool Keith. I'm cool with Sad. I'm cool with the whole Ultra Mag. Yeah. But more so, I was a fan first. You see what I'm saying? So we love their music. And it's cool to be humble and be a fan of somebody's music. You gotta get inspired from something and somewhere.
Yeah. How do you stay so humble? I mean, you're an excellent MC.
Sometimes when you have near tragic experiences, and then a lot of times is when you experience death, you know, to see one of the hardest and most hurtful things that you can go through is going to a funeral and paying homage to somebody that not only you respected, but was a truly immensely gifted, talented person. And they never got to show the world how talented they are. Like, that hurts so bad inside.
Right.
That, you know, I just feel death teaches you to live. I think that, you know, we all have our turn. People always say that. People come to funerals and wakes and say, oh, we got to stay in contact. Yo, don't let that be talk. Let that be a part of your life, because you don't know what tomorrow may bring. But the humility comes from the world changes that it has taken place. Like, you know, the big city's starting to get more expensive. COVID cutting down, performing, and, you know, learning how to spend time with yourself again, because we go. So now we're in our own space, in our own brain, and we start to overthink things. We'll be like, okay, this is what we're going to do. The 3 seconds later, nah, we're not doing that. We're going to do this. We're going to go this way. Nah, we're not going to do that. You got to start from somewhere. We kind of be the worst critics for ourselves. So to see that in other people, I said, look, I got to calm down. And plus, not only that, when I was young, I got arrested a lot. I've been arrested in every borough except Staten Island.
Right.
I got over that because I threw a cop's name that was family. So I I almost had that too. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, after a certain amount of time, you know, there's certain things like, you know, you grow up. Like, you grow up. Like, I realized that police, why should I be mad at police when they're paid to do a job? But their job might have certain tactics that's not adhesive to how to communicate with me.
Right.
But my job is not to judge how they communicate with me. My job is let them do their job and let me get where I got to go. So my attitude started changing because I kept getting arrested. I'm cursing cops out. I'm ready to fight them, you know, just angry because of how I grew up in the environment and seeing how the treatment was and what they have done. One of my childhood friends was killed by a police officer when I was like 12, 13 years old. So that's 40 years ago. So it's like, you know, you either learn or you don't learn. You either embrace the harsh realities of life. And I think that the reason why I'm humble is because a lot of times I've done stuff for people and my friends say, oh, well, you better than me. I wouldn't have did that for him. We looked out for him 6, 7 other times. But that also has a reward because I had some incredible things happen for me.
Right.
So I think that being humble and just know how to chill out sometimes and not being so aggressive about everything all the time. It might have some rainy days, but the sun definitely comes back out. It definitely comes back out in many different ways. So I just find being humble prolongs life. I want to be as long as I possibly can. And just always being angry and always being in defense mode is not good. It's not going to be good.
It's definitely not good for you. You know?
Right.
And when you put positive things out into the world, positive things come back to you.
Right.
You
know,
so
you don't know who's watching. I got a couple of people I know that they did positive podcasts. They was truly inspiring people, and then some companies come along and throw them a couple $1 million.
Really?
Because they want that energy out there. So it's very important what you post online. You can't be posting every time you're tired, sick and tired of something, or every time you're stressed out. Sometimes when you express something that can inspire somebody else, you never know who's watching.
Right, definitely. So
it's very important. And I was like, wow, these guys got a couple of $1 million for doing what they do. But that's just about staying in your own lane and sticking to your plan.
Right. That's pretty sweet. I don't think that after all the work I've put into my blog and my podcast that I could be like, here you go. Like, right. You know,
No. It's not that. It's some people will want to see you take it to another level. So they're not going to take it from you. They're going to give you the money. And they want you to set up a full production. They want you to really do your thing. And that's why it's very important for you to continue doing your thing. The consistency is good. The content is great. You know, you don't know. There's a lot of money in the world with a lot of people, and some of them are quiet. So they might say, look, you know, we need you to do this. That's dope. But we need you to take it to a whole nother level. And they might not want it, but what they might say is like, look, we want shares in your company. You know, they might be on the back burner. So yeah, always protect your baby, your gym. But there are people out there that's watching. So
you know. Yeah, definitely. So what do you think about, you know, the music industry? Do you have any advice for like the guys that I work with or any other indie up and coming artists about the music industry?
Well, the only thing I tell people is to be complete, meaning stop looking at what everybody else is doing and stick to your own plan. I know a lot of people, they'll finish the album. They'll start leaking the album, but they didn't do no videos yet.
Right.
And then when they do the video, they'll put the video clip up and they'll say the video's coming soon.
Right.
You know, people's attention span is as long as a fingernail.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you keep them interested? How do you get their attention? It's by you taking your time, do the music. Get the music right. If you got to wait for a keyboardist to come in and he's going to make the song much better, but you got to wait 3 weeks, that's worth waiting.
Right.
That's worth waiting. Make it to what you want it to be. Make it the full representation of what you want it to be. I'm talking about with music. I'm talking about with videos, with visuals. I'm talking about with promo. And stop trying to, like, be in this, I wrote the album in 2 weeks. Like, time is on your side. When you are being sincere about your music, you want, like, a lot of people don't know, like, they think that everything is overnight. Lil Wayne was on like about 32 mixtapes before he came out. He was on like 30 mixtapes in New York City.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these cats is putting that work in. Don't rush the process is what my word would be to the up and coming artists. Don't rush the process. If you really, truly believe in your music and you know that it will resonate with people and it will touch people, take your time. It makes sense to be like, yo, it took me 2 years to get the videos and get this music and to get the promos and the ads, but it's worth it once you put it out there, because once you put it out there, it's out there.
Right.
So you can either look like a peasant or you can look like a king or a queen, depends on your presentation.
Right. Everybody is just into this instant gratification.
Right.
You know, nobody has any patience anymore. And you're right. The attention spans are so short that they can't even focus on making their own album and like make it worthwhile. They have to get it out there.
If I had a chance to have Stevie Wonder, Black Thought, Yo-Yo, and somebody else on the song, and I got to wait 6 months to make that happen, I'm going to wait the 6 months.
Right.
You know, yeah. Because it's worth the creative outcome that's going to happen. Definitely. Oh, man, I got Lil Wayne, I got Lil Baby, I got Stevie Wonder. Man, I'll wait a year for a song like that.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Because I'm looking at the outcome, and that's what I'm saying. People gotta have vision. Meaning, stop seeing the car that's in front of you. Look ahead at the light. Look ahead at how many cars are in front of you. Try to look ahead and where you want to be at, because it doesn't make sense to rush the process. There's just way too many artists for you to get swallowed up amongst.
Right.
For you to come out, you know, half-stepping. You know what I mean?
Exactly. No half-stepping. I say that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the slogan for Never Near Rap, no half-stepping.
That's right.
So it's one of my favorite songs.
But that's good you do music, man. You should still work on your music. It's just that when you have those moments to work on your music, you should be in a comfortable space. You should be unbothered by what's going on online.
Right.
You should be unbothered by what's going on the news. And you need to lock in with yourself to try to get that message out of you, because the vision is like, yo, it got to be at least a million people that can relate to this message.
Definitely.
I'm a this song. And that's what's important. Not how fast you can become popular, because even like with me, I'm not no Jay-Z, you know, but when I go out in the world, I got to be mindful of who might recognize me and who's not.
Right.
But I can go into a supermarket and pick a lamb chop up. I don't think Jay-Z can go into a supermarket and be like, I wonder what kind of lamb that is. Like, he can't do that. He got to get somebody to do that. So be careful of how you worship the fame over the fortune of your story.
Yeah, definitely. That's great advice. While you have your fans' attention and my attention, is there anything that you want to tell us? You know, anything, any upcoming shows, anything like that?
Yeah, we're going to do a big organized confusion show in New York sometimes toward the end of the year, like September, like August, September. We're trying to plan for that.
Nice.
But I'm working on like 3 different albums right now. One of them is with a DJ from overseas, DJ PJ GJ. And he's actually like a photographer / producer. He's very eclectic, very to the left, makes his own sounds. And it's going to be experimental for me. So I'm trying to tap into that. On one of his songs, I did a song about mental health awareness. And the song is called The Homies Keep Telling Them It'll Be Okay.
Right. That's what all my music is about.
Yeah. So it's like the homies keep telling them it'll be okay, but they're not zeroing in on he's not okay. He's actually crying out to you in certain ways. And it's certain things like a lot of young men from all walks of life has, you know, been put into the adoption system. And I strongly believe that a baby should not be taken away from the mother for at least a year after the baby's born.
Right.
So a lot of times, a lot of people be having these imbalances, and it's not their fault. It's the lifestyle that they've been tossed into. And, you know, and the foster care system, everybody doesn't get great parents.
Right.
So, you know, as a baby, you get out of tune with your mother. Like, that's the closest person that you're supposed to be when you're first conceived. You should be with the mother at least a year. So when that doesn't happen, it kind of throws people off, man. It throws, you know, some possible, you know, geniuses off the track because it started wrong. So it's like a lot of times you got ADD, you got ADHD, you got PTSD, and it comes from different sources. And a lot of times people, you know, they're just going. They're so caught up in the fame and the acknowledgement of what they want to be accepted by the world. And they don't even see their best friend is going through it and also can possibly become suicidal. You know what I'm saying? So in a state of, from a state of depression. And a lot of times people don't deserve to feel that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, you know, you've been dealt a bad hand, but can you change it? Can you make it better? Can you realign your generation lineage by saying, okay, you know, I've been abused when I was younger, but now I'm about to have a kid. Let me realign it. Let me make it the right way. Let me put the love that family's supposed to have. You have the power to do that. And that's why I wanted to do the song, because I want to kind of encourage people that's going through challenges to be like, yo, I can change this. I can make this what I want it to be. I want it to be full of love. I want to have better connections with my family members. And sometimes you got to reach even to the elders and say, look, I know what y'all did before, but this is the new. This is the new thing. And this is what I want to do. And that's what I hope the song does, is just, you know, make people aware that we have friends and family members that been through stuff, and you hear about the stories. I think DaBaby lost his brother. So, you know, it's very important. Like, you don't want to get that call when you could have did something about it.
Exactly.
And I've had the call, and I just didn't see the signs, and I didn't get the chance to do nothing about it. That actually was Matt Dew, who did the Stress album cover.
Oh, really?
He drew the Stress album cover.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, that was some years ago, but that has woken me up to pay attention when people say certain things. Because, you know, we quick to say, yo, it's going to be okay. That's why I call the song. The homies keep telling it'll be okay. Also, okay standing for organized confusion.
Right, yeah. It's so amazing that you just talked about all that stuff, because that is so important to me. It's something I'm constantly posting on Instagram, like, hey, why don't you check on your friend today? You know, like,
right.
Just you could text them. You don't even have to call them, you know, stuff like that, because you never know what your friends and family are going through or the people around you. You
That's
have
right.
to ask them, you know,
That's
and
right.
listen.
Because everybody's walking around saying, I'm good, but everybody's not good.
None of us are good. You know, we're all messed up.
We all got some sense of something going on. I think everybody got PTSD.
Yeah,
you know,
I think
especially
that
we're worried about the COVID and, you know, and different things like the worrying about stuff we don't have no control of.
Right. Yeah, that's a big thing. Like, I've been reading about the Stoic philosophy a lot and trying to convince myself that I don't have to worry about things that are not in my control.
That's right.
So that's something that I've been working on. Do you do like a lot of reading about that, like that kind of stuff?
I've read books like The Secret, Behold a White Pale Horse. There's like different things that's allowing me to be in tune with what's going on around me for me to understand certain things. And I do, you know what I'm saying? I definitely do. Some of it is kind of harsh and I just accept it. But I've done a lot of reading. Then also, like, I have a good memory. So when I look at the news, I remember news reports from a month ago and I connected with now, and it's just always changing. There's always things being said and another thing being said. So I try to put myself in places where the energy stays positive. Like, I only watch the news maybe once a week, if that.
Yeah.
You know, I try to stay away from it because it's very depressing and it definitely brings down your frequencies. But I learned how to sit and listen to silence.
Right. Yeah,
that was one
too.
Of the biggest things when it came down to COVID. I was like, I got to know how to be my own company. And what helped out a lot was I stopped watching the presidents. The presidents who run for Biden and Trump was very intense. I stopped watching that. I stopped watching the news. I only watched movies. And then I always was tapping into movies that was interesting, like exploring movies and, you know, movies that's like different from different countries and stuff. I like independent films. So I just started learning how to be calm. I had, you know, a couple of anxiety attacks, and I just was like, Prince, you got to get in control of you.
Ooh, and Bella,
stop worrying about
I'm so sorry.
Stop worrying about so much that's going on around you, because you have no input on that. So I just started making sure I had fun foods to eat. I started cooking more dishes and just having fun in the crib.
Stimulating your mind, you know?
Right. And it was a process because I was getting anxiety attacks. I was like finding myself staying up all night. And I'm like still up at 9 and 10 in the morning. Like I need to get some sleep. Wow. And I just was like, you know what? Let it go. Nobody says you got to go to sleep at 10 o'clock at night. Let all that go. All that, you know, you got to be in bed by 10. Only thing I do is I try to eat before 9 o'clock at night. But otherwise than that, I let all those other little quirky things go. Like I fall asleep when I'm tired. I don't have to go to sleep at 10. I could watch a movie at 2 in the morning. I don't have to be asleep. I can do these things and change the patterns of, I can't fit that pattern no more. So I just started doing stuff like that. And I was finding myself looking at series of movies and I'm watching to 10 in the morning, but I'm comfortable because I'm chilling.
Right. So you just decided one day that you were an adult and you could just do whatever the hell you wanted. And you don't have to live by other people's timelines or other people's narrative, you know?
Who said you got to go to bed at 10 o'clock at night? Who said you got to eat eggs and bacon and grits in the morning? You want eggs, cheese, and pancakes at night, eat them at night. That's what you want.
Exactly.
So I started doing crazy stuff like that. I'm making pancakes at 9:30 at night. And I'm like, oh, wow, I'll put some blueberries in here. Like, I started just trying to enjoy life because I still have it. I still got it.
And it's nice you enjoy your own company. I'm exactly the same way. I quit watching TV 10 years ago. So I'm used to silence, you know, I'll be reading, I'll be writing, whatever, or I'll be listening to music of like the artists that I'm working with or whatever, but you have to learn to be your best friend.
That's right. That's right. You know? And like I said, you don't have to watch everything what everybody else watches. I like to watch stuff from back in the days, the 1800s. Like, it's just interesting to see certain things. And like I said, I let it be entertainment, not a dictator.
Right. Yeah.
It's just there to entertain. You're just watching it, you know, that's it. And it's just interesting to see certain things. And whatever you do as far as music and movies, it should be something that you resonate with, you know.
Right.
Sometimes I listen to Afro beats. Sometimes I go back and revisit stuff like the Pet Shop Boys and Western, you know, with Western Girls and Eurythmics, Grace Jones.
Yeah.
Like, we have so much great music. Like the Average White Band, they got like so much funky songs that they made back then. And these artists, they interacted more. They inspired each other a lot. The Police, they was inspired by Bob Marley. They got a dope song called "Walking on the Moon."
Yes. Oh my god.
And it's like, yo, when you hear these songs, it takes you back. Like, I wonder what kind of conversations that Bob Marley had with the Police. Like, I think about stuff like that.
Yeah, I love Depeche Mode and like the Talking Heads and, you know, all that stuff. I listen to that stuff a lot. David Bowie.
Yeah.
You know, because every once in a while, David, you need Bowie, to switch it up a little bit.
Gabriel,
Peter Black Gabriel, Sabbath. Yes.
Black Sabbath, I listen to some of their stuff. So it's like, I always was always a connoisseur of the music, and I always try new things to listen to. And, you know, it helps, man. It helps. There's a lot of good music out there that people are just forgetting about. Like everybody should be able to go a whole year without TV. That's how much dope music is. Like, you can constantly keep listening to different music and you last a whole year without TV.
Right. That would be awesome. And that's how I feel about hip hop, you know, which is why I'm doing this with like the whole golden era thing, is like the new generation doesn't know what hip hop used to be, you know, and it's just not like that anymore. So
it's very important for them to know where it came from, because if they don't know that, they don't understand that we wasn't just doing it for the love of it. We was doing it to get paid too. And we open up doors for them. I don't allow online narratives to stop me from interacting with the new age of music and the people creating it. I always try to, you know, have an open door to always building with them. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of artists that, you know, when I come across them, I tell them who I am. And a lot of times they know, like, you know, Kendrick Lamar be like, oh my God, y'all was just like the craziest when I was younger. And that's important. We shouldn't let nobody separate us. So what, the music is a little different. It's still a message. It's still a journey. Mm-hmm. It's still a melodic form of language. So it's like, to me, you know, and then on top of that, like the era I'm from, I can rhyme on anything that y'all make. Like, that's where I come from. I come from that. If you can't do that, you can't do that. You're not versatile.
Right.
So that's what I be trying to share with the new artists and new up and coming artists. Like, be versatile. Know how to do many things.
Mm-hmm.
Be an artist. Be an artist where you can create in many different avenues and many different perspectives.
Yeah.
Don't be pigeonholed, you know, and don't let the industry say, oh, y'all are old heads. First of all, my thing is that I'm hoping and I'm rooting for these young people because I'm scared of what they're going to look like at 40. I'm afraid of, because they got so many synthetic drugs, and I get it, but everything you do is in moderation. No matter what you do, you got to have a time where you party, but you got to have a time where you chill out too and tell your body, I thank you, appreciate you for getting me through a lot of drunk nights and
and
a lot of wild parties. You got to tell your body thank you by putting some good food in it, you know, drinking your water. Well, my thing is that I just don't want the so-called industry to separate and divide us when it's all the music for all the cultures, for all walks of life that came from my city.
Right. My dad
was made for everybody.
My dad grew up in Queens, actually.
Yeah, so that's dope.
Where you
that's
grew
dope.
Up, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. South Jamaica, yeah. That's what I'm saying. But the music was for everybody. The music was actually the voice of the unheard. So everybody who was like from nerds to just, you know, just very self-absorbed and quiet, it represented all those people. It represents everybody. So that's what made it dope. When you went to a park jam, everybody was accepted. Nobody's like, oh, you don't have new sneakers on, you can't enjoy this music. It was none of that.
Right.
It was about celebration of music and having hope and faith for your future. And enjoying the dance and the fellowship amongst people, and the funk and the soul was in the air, and it was just a good feeling, regardless of how poor or how set back you felt you were. Like, this music made you feel like you are part of something.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm always talking about, man. You hit the nail right on the head. I'm always saying, you know, we need to bring back the community feeling of hip hop, you know?
Right.
And
well, that, we got to stop being gophers and allowing the media to control what belongs to us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real problem. The media says, oh, well, they're old heads. I mean, I can run just as fast as my nephew.
Yeah.
My other nephew's complaining about his back. I don't complain about my back. Ain't nothing wrong with my back. So my thing is, let's stop being that shallow and being what I call a gopher, going for anything that anybody tells you.
Right.
My dad said, don't be a gopher. You're going for anything that people tell you. This is our music. What I mean by our music, I'm talking about the listener, the rapper, the singer, the producer, the dancer, the DJ, the graph writer, the listener, the writer in magazines. It belongs to all of us, even if you're just a connoisseur of the music. That's our music. That's our, mm-hmm. So nobody can tell us how to get along, how to interact. That's good. And we got.
Anyway, I think, you know, that we've done a pretty great job touching on everything. You don't have any like shows coming up though, that are just the one in New York.
Actually, I'm doing a function, in New York, at this place called Project Parlor. We're having a birthday party for one of the New York promoters called Doc Ock. So I'll be there, possibly performing a few songs, and I'll be actually serving food. I cook too.
Nice. Wow.
So that, and then I'm going to be back at that same spot on August 6th for a function I got called a Hot Tub Time Machine.
Really?
So, and that is about like playing music that was in your life during your span of your life, from all the stuff we talked about all the way up to the new stuff,
to Lil Baby, to
you know, T.I. and 2 Chainz and, you know, all these different artists. Like, we're going to bring it all the way up to that, but that's going to be at the very end of the night. But it's just about the music that you came up on, the music that you might have heard when you was younger, you know, the music that gravitated with you as a young person. So we're going to tap into all that. It's going to be great food there, good vibes. It's the summertime, so they got a yard in the backyard. You can go out there, you can dance, or you can be inside. So just doing that, and I'm in the lab right now, like I said, working on this new record. I haven't named it yet. Shout out to my man, DJ PJ GJ, doing the record with him. It's been a long time coming. He's been extremely patient, and they're like going through the different waves from the pandemic to just traveling and trying to get as much stuff done. He's been very patient. We got a dope record that's coming. We're going to have some new Organized Confusion music.
Man.
I'm actually waiting for a Pharoah Monch beat right now. He has started this beat, and I want the beat. And I'm like, come on, man, give me the beat.
That's really exciting. That's yeah, super so, exciting stuff.
Yeah, we still working, but like online, Facebook, I do the Facebook Lives. I call it the JBs, which is just building. Yeah. And I pretty much just remind people of how powerful they are and how great they are. And I try to get people to stop being so hard on themselves. Like, yo, you know, make mistakes. Embrace the mistake. The mistake is just a mistake. But then when you say, oh, man, I made a mistake, it's all right. I know how to do it now. Now the mistake turns into a lesson. And the people that's standing around you that's like, oh, man, you made a mistake. They need to be embracing their mistakes. They don't need to be telling you about your mistakes. And that's the thing is, like, people always ask me, like, yo, you know how to do a lot of stuff. Yeah, I made a lot of mistakes.
And you learned from them.
And I learned from them. And as soon as you embrace it and you accept the mistake, it instantly turns into a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I played basketball when I was young. Coming back off the road in the early days, I started watching all the cooking shows, and I would just go buy a bunch of food and mess it up and burn rice and, you know, and cook stuff too fast and cook stuff too slow. And over a process of like 15 years, I got nice. I got dope. I'm learning from my mistakes. And now people's like, yo, can you cook something for my, I need them wings. I need the,
oh, man.
I need the macaroni salad. So it's a blessing that your mistakes turn into lessons if you just allow yourself to be human.
Yeah.
Because there's always somebody around you who criticizes, and you know what they say. Small minds talk about people. Great minds talk about ideas.
Exactly. They do. So when do you do this show on Facebook Live?
I do it every Friday in the morning, roughly about 9. And every now and then I spontaneously go on IG Live and I do them. And I call it the JBs. It's just building. It's justified building. I let people share their opinions on certain things. You know, I try to get people to understand that we are our worst critic. So I always try to lock in with stuff like, yo, you know, you might not be where you want to be at, but you got to sometimes look back, stop and look back and say, wow, I've made some pretty cool accomplishments. And you got to refuel yourself because end of the day, we all want to win. We all want to try to be in a position where we're comfortable. But in order to do that, you got to remember some of the things that you accomplished so you keep that energy up. And then, you know, and put yourself around other people. When you mix down a song, you want that song to sound great. But when you go to master, the person who's mastering is making sure that all the songs on the album sound just as great as the last one. So if you got an upright bass on the second song and then the third one you got violins, you need a mastering person to take your mix and put it in correlation with the mix of your other song. You can't just say, oh, I got this one dude and he mixed down my songs and now I'm ready to put it out. I'm like, yeah, but what about the whole overall album? You want it from song 1 to 10, you want them all to sound good and of great quality. In order to do that, you need a mastering guy or girl.
Yep. Yeah, I have my guy. His name is Mr. Goodbars from New Hampshire. And he does all my music for me. So, and he gives me good advice and, you know, because he's got a good ear.
Right. And it takes years to do that. Don't be afraid to spend time with the music. It takes you time to develop the greatness in this music. Like I'm as long as I've been doing records, I still don't mix down records. I've been in the mix session and I can tell them what I want, but actually to get the frequencies and the levels, no, I don't do that.
Right, yeah.
I get the professional to do that and I sit next to him like, yeah, that's nice. I want you to make the bass a little warm now. Like I can talk the language now, but I still don't do hands-on. I've been doing this for a while, so.
Yeah. All right, man. I got to let you go before Zoom shuts off on us because they give you a time limit. So it was so amazing to have you on the show. You had so many incredible things to say. Thank you so much for being on the show.
I'm humbled. I'm honored to have on. And you know, and like I said, people reach out. I'm the original Prince Poe, the real Prince Poe on YouTube and Instagram. The real Prince Poe on on Facebook, and people can always reach out to me, go there, get my email, you know, okay. whatever. You know, I try to make myself accessible because I believe in people that believe in themselves.
Right. That's awesome. Yeah. All right, man. Take it easy.
I appreciate you. Thank Bye. You, Queen, for having me. I appreciate you so much on many levels.
Okay, guys, so that was Prince Poe, and I am so honored to have been able to interview him. Make sure that you show him some love and go follow him on Instagram. Hey, you looking for more Crystallized Beats podcast? We are available on all streaming platforms as well as nevernair.com.